traipsing around. You can have breakfast with Santa. You can go and tell Santa what it is that you want for Christmas. Tell him the things that your parents already told you no, you can't have. Those kinds of things. There are people who get kind of violently opposed to anything not Jesus about Christmas. And, you know, I get their point a little bit to that extent anyway. I might be a little claustrophobic, but not that bad. Your gift this year is that's the only pun in the message. Anyway, Christmas season used to mean that period between Thanksgiving and New Year's, right? That's when Christmas season was. That was it. You saw Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. That's when Santa Claus came in, and that was the Christmas season. But now we know that retailers know that they can feed off your emotions and start selling you stuff way earlier than that. And so they start decorating in October. They start as soon as they possibly can. If you've ever been to the Philippines in September, you know that Christmas season is well on its way, right, Jalari? Because Christmas season in the Philippines is any month that starts with or ends with burr. September, October, November, December. It's all. It just reminds you of being cold or something. And so it's, you know, bless their hearts, what can I say? And if Filipinos, I mean, if they weren't such loving, wonderful, beautiful people, it might be a little bit annoying. But how can you begrudge them when they know and celebrate the real meaning of Christmas instead of what we do most of the time anyway? And I'm telling you, the problem is that it's absolutely real. Lloyd and Sherry, who were the directors of the Calvary Chapel Bible School in Dumaguete there in the Philippines, they recently came back to America. They live up in Idaho, and I was Facebooking with Lloyd and said, "So when did you guys start decorating this year?" And he's like, "Oh, I've gone through withdrawal symptoms, man. There's snow on the ground, and we don't have decorations up yet. It's crazy." So it's a real thing. You know, the Filipinos I know, they celebrate Jesus and his birth all year long. They just put their decorations up a little earlier than we do. So, you know, it's one of those things. What can we say? But when did the real Christmas start? Was it with the visit from the angel? Is that when Christmas really started? Was it the trip to Bethlehem? Was it the star telling the Magi, "Hey, something's going on here"? Was it a lowly stable somewhere? Was it some heavenly host of angels talking to the shepherds out there? Was it the first cry of the one that was born called Emmanuel, God with us? Well, in Luke chapter 2, we read, starting in verse 1, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." As some of us have seen and heard and read about those words hundreds of times, but they still bring joy to us, don't they? Hearing this story about this child born and the declaration of this child being born. But I want to bring your attention to what it says in verse 6, because it says, "While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth." And we understand the gestation period for this. This was just the normal thing. It was the 40 weeks. It was the 9 months. It was the time that it took for the baby to be developed in her womb. But I want to bring your attention then to a different verse in Scripture in the New Testament where it talks about the same kind of imagery. And I want you to see not the development of the child, but I want you to see the development of God's plan about Christmas in that. And it's found in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." And this term, the fullness of time, it's the same concept as coming to full term with the pregnancy. It's a ripeness, it's a completion, that there's nothing lacking, that everything is perfect and all the conditions are right for this. The plan has come about and everything is exactly like it's supposed to be. Now, one of the expressions for being pregnant is expecting. And at this time when Jesus is born, the world is expecting. There's some miraculous thing going on, and it's recorded not only in Scripture, but in the historians, Josephus and other people, that at this point, people are hungry for Messiah. They're looking for something because the promise has been given here. And the world is pregnant with hope at this time, waiting for the fullness when it's going to be completed and brought forth. So again, for some, the Christmas story and that season comes when that angel first comes to Mary and says, "Hey, you're going to be with child because the Holy Spirit will come upon you." But that plan, Mary's just one little part of that. It's her part of the plan. And it's a big part of the plan, but it's not the start of it. It was just her part. The plan has been in motion and being developed and going on for a long time now. Long, long time before Mary, we've seen that God had this plan already in motion, didn't we? In Isaiah, back in chapter 7, we see that God speaks through Isaiah and says that the Lord himself will give you a sign. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." God already knew about Mary. Mary had no idea she was that chosen one, but God already knew about this woman and the detail involved with this that God had planned, that the son isn't just a normal human being, but being born of the flesh and being Emmanuel, God with us. God has already set into motion this plan, and a part of it is the miraculous. God's plan is miraculous. He is born human. He is born God with us. And this child that the angel is declaring to Mary is Emmanuel. And what about Mary? She's a virgin. And not just the fact that she's a young lady. She's 15 years old or so, which was the normal for the marrying age at that time in life when the age of mortality was younger and all. It was pretty normal. And some people will claim that, well, that was just the word for the younger person, a younger lady. And it could be, except that she declared, "How is this possible since I've never been with a man?" And so we know that this is the miraculous. We know that this was God's plan. And we'll see later on that it was more than that as well. And so we see God's plan. We see glimpses of it. He's revealed it to us throughout the time. Again in Isaiah, he tells us, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." We see God's plan spoken to us throughout the ages. And so Christmas time had already begun well before these things that we celebrate on Christmas Day, isn't it? So when we look at the fullness of time of Christ, Christmas has already been coming. And we see the details of this as well, not only in these prophecies of Isaiah about the Messiah, but even details about where Jesus was going to be born, where this baby would be. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." So God's plan is a plan. You guys ever have a plan which is more of a concept? Like 12% of a plan? I was watching a movie last night. Anyway, 12% of a plan is like, oh yeah, I've got a plan. Well, and we kind of wing it, don't we? We kind of make it up as we're going along. But God isn't making this up as he's going along. He has it all laid out for us. And when the fullness of time comes, then Jesus is going to be born. But he knows about these things, and he's laid them out before us so that we can understand them. Where he's to be born, who he's to be born of. He's to be a descendant of David, as he tells us in Psalm 132, verse 11, 1 Chronicles 17, 11 through 13, Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6, and several other places. We know that Messiah is going to be a descendant of David. And so again, he lays these things out through the Old Testament. And through it, we have the promise, we have the formation, we have the development of this, the fruition of the plan to bring it forth to the fullness of time so that people can anticipate that. Do you guys like the anticipation of Christmas? Some people are like, oh, we put up our Christmas tree on Christmas Eve because then it's all at one time. Other people, they have their tree up September, okay? When you have your tree up, how long until the first present has to be underneath the tree? Sometimes you have to have the present there before it's actually decorated, because I made the mistake of not putting presents underneath a tree until far later, and Susan's like, You learn who you're married to, and then you love them according to their language. And so some people like to anticipate. They like to see the gift. They like to see this stuff. They like to anticipate the things. And so God has been causing us to be able to anticipate the birth of this child for a long time by telling us about it, by showing us the plan, by laying it out from long time past. And so we see this fullness of time. Every intricate detail has to be completed. Every finite feature of this has to be finalized. Every portion of the purpose has to be meticulously factored in. And so it's told to us. And it's told to those before and after us so that we will recognize that it isn't winged, that it isn't something that God is working on, but that God knows about and is laying out before us. And that we recognize that God is in complete control of everything, and that Christmas has begun, and our hope is awaiting us. And it began long before Israel even became a nation. Before Jacob was born, whose name became Israel, we saw that in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, Messiah was going to be the offspring of Abraham, of which it says, in whom all nations will be blessed. And so is Father Abraham also Father Christmas? Is that where the Christmas story kind of gets its head start here? But Abraham had the plan already in gestation also. He already understood that there was a plan going on here. He was the tool for the plan. He wasn't the origin for it. He knew that God was doing something for him. He heard about the promise, but he also saw forward to the promise. Also, remember when Abraham and Isaac went to the mountain, to Mount Moriah, and God told them, I want you to sacrifice Isaac, your son, your only son, the son that you love, on this altar. He's like, okay. And they lay out the wood, they have it all there, and Isaac asks the question, where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? Abraham, I think looking forward into this whole Christmas thing, into this Messiah thing, he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. He saw what was going on with this. Jehovah, the Lord, he said, will provide himself. The Lord. And you guys, we've been studying this in 1 Kings. When it says the Lord, we know it means Jehovah. Says Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. He is the one who will provide himself as a sacrifice on this. And so on that same Mount Moriah, where he sacrificed, was going to sacrifice himself, his son, we know that mountain became known as Calvary. And so where Isaac was to be sacrificed came the sacrifice of that Christmas child. So the first place that we hear for the plan of Christmas of that Christ is where we needed Christ first. And we see it in Genesis chapter 3. Starting in verse 8, it says, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman who you gave to me to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.'" This is the beginning of the Christmas story. It tells of the Messiah, the one who comes to save. Like the song that we sing, "God and sinners reconciled." When the first sin came, the first mention of the Savior is also mentioned. And so the first mention of Christmas, of the coming of the Christ, is here. And did you notice it tells us of the virgin? Because the enmity is between her seed and him, between Satan and her seed, not between their seed. And notice also that it speaks of Emmanuel, God with us, because it's going to be the God child, because again, it is not just simply a human child, but it shows us that God is involved with it as well. And notice that he's going to conquer sin and restore mankind. And it gives us the concept by which means he's going to be able to do that, because he's going to bruise his head. He's going to crush the works of the devil. It also speaks of the temporary victory that Satan will have, because he will bruise him on the heel, it says, in a death that Jesus will overcome. And so we see, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when we look at the Christmas story, the plan from way back when the Christ is first spoken of, our hope is in the fact that he's going to be that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world as well. So still, in the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, in the fullness of time that we have here, we still haven't gotten to the beginning, have we? In the beginning, is that where the Christmas story really begins, where Christmas actually started? In the place where God created? God saw that it was good after he created. But can I just tell you that it didn't take God to tell that it was good? In looking at creation, anybody could have looked at that and saw that it was good, right? But what God did is he also saw what was going to happen. That in all that was good, in the perfection that was, he also saw what was going to happen. In seeing what was going to happen and that man would fall, if he had not known about that, if he had had to scramble, if he had had to come up with a plan B, it would have been a problem for us. But God already knew. God understood. God recognized. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he explains to us that it was God's plan that in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that man would be saved. So, when did it begin? Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world is when the Christmas story begins. Because it's in the heart of our loving God who created us knowing what was going to happen. knowing that in giving us the free will in order to love him in the way that we could only love him if we had that free will, that we would rebel against him and choose ourselves to begin with, but that if redeemed, we could turn back to him. And so because of that, because the giver of life gave us the opportunity for it, and so before even creating us, God so loved the world that he had already given his only begotten son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So the plan was before the foundation of the world. Christmas began before the foundation of the world. Jesus, the Messiah, God in flesh, the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, the payment for sin, the sacrifice of Calvary, the tiny babe. All of this we see, like again it said in Ephesians 1 verse 4, from before the foundation of the world. That was God's plan, always and forever, even before he created us. The plan was already in existence. So how cool is it that God, knowing who we are, knowing what we would need, created us in such a way and planned our redemption ahead of time. So then we look and we see the exclamation that the angels gave to the shepherds there in Luke chapter 2. Then starting in verse 8 where it says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. With whom he is pleased. This is something that a lot of people don't seem to understand, that God is pleased with man. God is pleased. I mean, yes, his wrath is poured out upon the wrath, upon the sin of mankind, but he's pleased with men. He loves mankind. And he desires for us to come to that relationship with him, and that's why he has sent forth Messiah. And we see the baby, we see the Savior, we see the Christ, we see the Prince of Peace, all the things that we have of Christmas Day. We see with the rejoicing angels. But do you see what it says here, in here? You will find him. He tells the shepherds, you will find him. And it's the same message for us. We won't find him in a manger. We won't find him wrapped in cloths. We won't find a baby. But the same hope that they had then is the hope that we have now, of finding the Savior wrapped in glory, because he is the risen Savior, wrapped in power, seated at the right hand of the Father, because he is Christ the Lord. This is the hope of Christmas, not simply a baby, but a baby who was given to live a life that was sinless in order to give us the redemption that we might be ever with him. Ephesians 4:4 again, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, but all those who receive him are given the right, the power, to become children of God, adopted and a part of the family of God. And so the child is a great symbol for us to recognize. And we look with so much joy, with so much satisfaction, with so much love that God would give a son, that Jesus would humble himself and become a child. But the fullness of time came. God's plan came to fruition, and Jesus was born in order to be that hope for us, that realization for us that our eternal life had also begun. And today is the perfect day, the fullness of time for us to follow after him as well. And if you have not started to follow after him, if you've stopped following after him, you need to start following after him again. What a perfect season for us to do that. With all the wrappings, with all the trimmings, with all the other things, let's not forget what it's really all about. The time to celebrate that Jesus has come, that he has become God in bodily flesh, so that that flesh could be broken for us, that we could have eternal life. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for